Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I am your host, Bart Zandbergen. And Paul, are we not lucky today?
We are so, we've had so much fun talking beforehand, but I can't tell you any of the stuff we talked about here today. But we're very lucky to have this show on here and the guests we have with us, because I'm going to learn a lot today.
We are going to learn a lot. Not only do we have two beautiful women, but there is actually a lot of brains behind the beauty as well. So this is going to be a lot of fun. So our special guest today is Shelley Geiler, who has an amazing background. So Shelley, just to do you the credit you deserve, I'm just going to read this couple of sentences just to make sure I don't miss a thing. So you're a successful entrepreneur, attorney, philanthropist, and you're known for thriving in multifaceted leadership roles. You are a partner in Polo Properties, LLC, which we're going to be speaking a lot about today, a real estate development firm, owner of multiple Southern California self-storage amenities, and developer, co-owner of the brand new home of the Orange County Polo Club in Silverado Canyon. Can't wait to learn more about that. And you oversee business operations, project design, financing, marketing, and brand development on all organizations. How do you do it all?
Well, Bart, thank you for having me today.
Sure. Welcome to the show.
I'm not really sure. I just keep going and going and going until I drop. But it's all so much fun that it doesn't really feel like work. So I think that's why I never say no.
Yeah. Okay. That's actually the key to success, I think, is doing what you love to do and it doesn't feel like a job.
Yeah.
Let's start with something that's maybe the more obvious is how does one come from training to be an attorney and then owning businesses and then developing a polo club? So tell us about that.
Well, I have always jumped from sort of one thing to another, and I think this is my fifth or sixth career. So my father was an attorney and was always doing real estate investments on the side and always looking for other ways to find income and sort of had an entrepreneurial spirit, but used the law firm to really pay the bills. And along the way, I think I was in high school when he had purchased a self-storage property, and my mom was looking for something to do, and she said, well, I'll be the property manager. And so she jumped in and learned the self-storage business and eventually became the queen of self-storage and we kind of went on to sort of build a little mini empire here in Southern California of self-storage properties. And in the meantime, I went off to college, and I went to film school and really loved kind of that world and got to do some fun things in film. But all along I realized, you know, what a legal education could do for me. And I think I felt like I deserved to be at the table having the conversation, but I didn't really have the education yet to do it. So I went to law school and in the process really learned to kind of get excited about the law. So after law school, I worked at a law firm for a couple of years. But I also knew that there was a family business at home sort of calling my name. Mm-hmm. And I started looking at some other entrepreneurial businesses that might be kind of fun. And I would bring the spreadsheets home to my dad and show it to him, and he'd compare it to the self-storage business and point to the, you know, column with the ROI. And it didn't take me that long to figure out that maybe I should jump into the self-storage business.
Yeah.
And they had already, you know, really put the foundation in place and had built this incredible business. But it was before branding was even really a concept. So for me, it was really easy to come from New York City, where I saw sort of things happening at a faster pace and maybe a little further ahead of what one might consider self-storage industry, and apply those things to our business. And so it was just fun because it was right, you know, at that time we were still using Yellow Pages. Hmm. So I got to really help bring our business to the, to the 21st century.
Yeah.
And along the way, I got back to playing polo, which I had done growing up. And we had always been sort of the supporters of the OC Polo Club, and we'd moved a few times because there's always a new development kind of ready to take over where their stables were. And when that happened at our last place, my dad and I looked at each other and said, you know, I think it might be time to find a permanent home. So that's where we are now.
Okay. All right. So you're still active with the self-storage?
Yes.
Okay. And those are across the country or just
No, there? We're just in Southern California.
Okay.
Our I think game plan was to be able to drive to any location on any given moment to check on business.
Okay.
So we were lucky to kind of get into some very key locations early on and have just focused on managing them as well as we can and providing a really high level of service.
Yeah. Since this is a business show, I will tell you that in our asset allocations, we in the real estate world, we love self-storage as a portion. So,
yes, it may not be sexy, but it is.
Hey, if it makes money, it's sexy.
It's a great business.
Yeah.
We love it.
Okay. So let's talk about polo. You grew up playing polo in New York?
No, in Newport Beach. I'm actually from Newport Beach, fourth generation Californian.
Okay.
So I grew up doing hunter jumpers, which is an English equitation kind of riding. And my dad would kind of, he loved horses as well. So he would come with me and he would start riding my show jumper and he put on the breeches and velvet hat and would go to horse shows with me. And my mom found a sign for polo lessons in a tack shop. And she thought, well, that'd be a really fun thing to give Denny for his birthday.
Yeah.
So she got him a polo lesson.
Where was that? Here
that was in Anaheim.
Okay.
Yes, at the first club that eventually became the Orange County Polo Club. It was called the Winston Polo Club. It was right by Angel Stadium.
Okay.
And it was just a little rundown stables that happened to have an arena where they played polo.
Yeah.
And he came home and said, that's the most fun I've ever had. He sold his Porsche. And
that's a big move.
Yeah, which he'd always had. He was a passionate Porsche owner and bought two polo ponies, and that was it for him. He never looked back. I kept doing hunter jumpers for a while, but I would always go to the barn with him. And just the sheer thrill of being able to ride, you know, at a fast pace on a team with my dad, you know, was so much fun that I quickly switched over from hunter jumpers to polo, and we've never looked back.
Wow. So we were talking earlier, and until I've met you, I've only met one other person that plays polo, and that's our mutual friend Shane Baum, who's been on the show. So we learned a bit about polo then, but not enough. So let's talk a little bit more about that. Paul and I were joking earlier to say that, well, we thought it was just for like the rich and famous, and we know that's being referenced in that very addictive show called The Crown. So, what is happening with polo as a sport or an industry, maybe?
Right. Well, I think that it's obviously, you know, we all picture the big grass field and the beautiful hats and dresses and royalty playing, and there absolutely is that history. But the history also goes back to the Mongols, and polo is one of the oldest sports in our history, and it has been played by the military in order to keep the officers and their horses in shape. And it has always been played, it's played on the grass, but we also have a game called arena polo, and that is played in a much smaller field with three players instead of four. And it doesn't require as many horses, it doesn't require as much money, and it doesn't require as much land. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we're able to sort of bring polo to people who wouldn't necessarily be able to play, who can't afford to kind of fly off to Florida for 4 months with their string of ponies and a couple of Argentine pros. As much as we'd all love to do that, some of us have to go to work every day, and to be able to drive, 20 minutes from the beach to Silverado Canyon, just up Jamboree, and play polo, with your friends and your family. It is for everybody.
Are there other what do we call them, courses, arenas? What do you call them?
Well, arena, polo clubs.
Clubs. Are there other clubs here in Southern California?
Yes. So there's no other. So there's a couple of grass polo clubs out in the desert in Santa Barbara, which everybody has seen,
Barbara,
in pictures.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of arena clubs in Los Angeles, and we've always been the only arena club in Orange County. Mm. It's hard, as you know, in Orange County to have any kind of open land that doesn't get developed.
Yeah.
And horses in general, it's difficult to find a place that's big enough to have an operation. It's certainly not a money-making concept. So, what we've done is really try and figure out a way to be a turnkey solution for people so that they can live, here with their families, go to work every day and come out, after work and play polo, and their horse is ready. It's tacked up. It's been groomed. It's well taken care of, and they can just go out and have fun. And on the weekends, they can bring their family. We have lots of multi-generational families playing.
Yeah.
And so it really, people will go from having never ridden a horse before to playing, in club chuckers in a year.
Okay, we kind of talked about that earlier. So when we were talking about, hey, Barry should come play, like, well, I don't even know how to ride a horse. So are you,
love people who've never ridden a horse before, because we can teach you how to ride while also learning how to play polo. And when you're focusing on hitting a ball, you're a little less worried about whether you're doing things perfect on the horse, which allows you to progress a little more quickly.
Yeah.
And because you're constantly turning to chase the ball, you get a seat, what we call a seat, very quickly.
Okay.
And it's just a lot more fun than riding around in a circle hoping to get your, post just right.
Yeah. What are the saddles considered, a Western saddle, an English?
It's an English, it's like an English saddle. It's just a little bit larger than an English saddle.
Okay.
So it really looks like English riding, but just sort of a sporty version because we're a little looser in the saddle trying to reach that ball or ride off an opponent.
Yeah. So you've said multi-generational. You said you played with your dad and you started as a child. What are the age range of players?
Well, my daughter is 8 years old and she's starting to swing the mallet and will probably be playing in chuckers, as soon as she possibly can. She's chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
My father is 77 years old and he does not show any signs of hanging up the mallet. So it really is something that you can play your whole life, which is so much fun because what else can you do, with men and women, kids and adults, horses, and a team.
Right, right.
And so it's, I mean, maybe sailing is the closest equivalent to it.
Right. Right. Maybe golf.
Maybe golf.
Yeah, but it's so different.
Yes.
So different.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Somebody tweeted, and how's the game played, real quickly?
I was going to ask you that.
How's the game played?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, with the ball.
How big?
Yeah. So
softball.
The arena ball is like a mini soccer ball. So it's like a leather ball that's about the size of a grapefruit.
Okay.
And that's so that it can bounce on the dirt arena. And then the difference between grass polo and arena polo is a lot like indoor soccer versus outdoor soccer. Arena polo looks a little bit like hockey. The ball never goes out of bounds unless you hit it out of bounds and then you got to throw it back in. So we play 3-on-3. So you have 3 players on each team and 2 umpires. And the ball is bowled in, and then you are trying to score a goal on either side of the field.
Yeah.
And in the process, you try and ride off your opponent, or you might hook them to stop them from hitting the ball. It's also played right-handed. So I'm left-handed, but I had to learn how to play right-handed because that way we avoid as much as possible people colliding head on.
Oh, I see.
Because there's a right of way of the ball. So as soon as the ball is hit, it creates this imaginary line.
Yeah.
And you want to follow that line in order to not foul your opponent.
Okay.
And it keeps the play moving in the right direction.
Is there goal posts?
There's goals on either side. on the grass, there's two posts, and in the arena, the goals are built into the arena.
Okay.
And
is there there's not a goalie per se?
No,
right?
No. Okay. There's you cannot goaltend in polo.
Okay.
But you do have offensive and defensive positions,
yeah.
And you can get very strategic, you know, in terms of positioning on the field and get as complicated as you want with strategy.
And is it dangerous? I see people falling or getting hit. It seems like a very
dangerous. We don't like to talk about that.
Yeah.
But.
Well.
So I was going to ask, because this kind of parlays, is it, this is my attempt at being humor, is it in like hockey where they can take and just start like beating on each other?
Right. Well, no. But so all of the rules are intended to keep the horses safe and the players safe. Yeah. We don't want to see anybody getting hurt.
Yeah.
And one of the great things about arena polo is that it is played, it's soft dirt, it's played at a slower pace. It is a much safer endeavor than the grass polo can be. Horses in general are always, you know, you have to be aware at all times what you're doing and never take it for granted that they're going to just stand there just because they were standing there for an hour before. If something spooks them, they're going to move.
Yeah.
But our whole job and our goal at OC Polo is to keep people safe. We do everything we can to keep the horses in good shape. We, you know, keep the equipment in good shape, the arenas, everything we do is because we don't want to get hurt.
Right.
And we don't want our horses to get hurt.
Right.
So, yes, any horse activity is definitely a little bit more on the risky side than walking to school, but
are the you provide the horses for players at your
arena? We provide the horses for lessons, and then as you progress into club chuckers, you need to buy your own horse, and then we provide all the care for the horse.
Oh, okay.
So we do everything from make sure it's fed to the vet to everything that needs to be done. But it really changes the club, the way people play when they own their own horse.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't own your own horse and you come from, you know, sort of a motorcycle background and you think, I'm just going to get on and ride it like a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want you doing that to my horse.
Yeah.
So when you own your own horse, you start to understand the importance of maybe you don't swing, you know, at a particular play, because if you do hurt your horse, then you don't have a horse to play for the next 6 months. So it really creates an investment in your sport, and you improve a lot faster.
And are there like teams? Is there a final cup? Is there a what happens?
Yeah, So
can we just root for teams? Do I have to play? Can I just come and watch?
You can. So not only from an arena polo, we have an arena league that we play with. Clubs up and down Southern California. That's really fun to get to play against other clubs. We'll make up teams usually you make up a team for a particular tournament. And we do have events that are open to the public. And the other thing that we do that's really a fun thing is that we put on private events. So we're sort of providing unique polo experiences for people to, whether they want to come and have, you know, a team building event and bring all of their customers or their, you know, high earning employees, and we'll get them all on a horse, we'll walk them through all the steps, we'll teach them about how to swing a mallet, horse care, and then they can come and have, you know, lunch and watch a polo match, or we can put on, you know, a fancy dinner party and and an exhibition match so that your guests, you know, can see polo up close, and we can make the teams so that, you know, they're branded and everybody's rooting for one team or the other, or we donate, you know, raise some money and donate it to a charity. So there's a lot of different things we can do, because we can put on polo at any time, and we can cater it to what people are looking for.
That's super creative. So let's say our friend Paul here decides, hey, I want to start playing polo. So
well, he's got the hatter.
I got the hatter. So.
I think he took mine. Is that mine, Paul?
I don't know. I got the brown one.
So what do you do with Paul?
So Paul calls Heather,
okay.
who runs our polo club, and she is a USPA certified instructor. So she's been teaching people for 20 plus years how to play polo. you set up a polo lesson, and she'll, you know, first time it'll be a one-on-one, and she'll assess where you're at. And
but first, I got to ride a horse because I don't think I've ever been on a horse two times in my life. Yeah.
She's going to put you on a horse.
Wow.
And we'll get you, all you need is a pair of jeans and preferably a pair of boots. But if you don't have boots, just any closed-toed shoes will do. We've got the helmet.
Okay.
And she will walk you through the basic steps so that you can get on a horse and start swinging a mallet and, you know, but in an hour. And then from there, you can kind of, you know, assess. For some people, they say, oh, well, that was great. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And other people, most of them, say that was, you know.
I'm hooked.
Yeah, I'm hooked. Yeah. Where do I sign up?
Yeah.
When can I come back?
Really?
And they come back, you know, yeah. and eventually become polo club members.
Yeah.
But we can. It just depends on how, you know, obviously, the more athletic you are, the easier it is to pick it up. But
and if I just wanted to watch, are there events I could just come out and watch, bring my grandson and just watch him?
Yeah, we're not open to the public on a daily basis. But what we do is just you contact Heather or text us on the social media channels, and we'll let you know when we do have an event going that's open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
We do put on a lot of different things. It just with weather and all of the things that can come up and change the time. We don't want to post something ahead of time.
Yeah.
And have
but everybody the public
show up.
Could come out and just
yes.
watch it.
Yeah.
And there's a fee to come out. Ticket
it,
price.
It just depends on the event and what the particular occasion is.
So I'm gonna give you a little interesting anecdote. They always say in the show, I know a little bit about everything here. I live in Ladera, and at the corner of Ortega Highway and Antonio is that there's like a riding area there. I think I'm told it's owned by Joan Irvine Smith, and
yes.
she
yeah.
fights to keep that open because every other corner has been developed, and she somehow keeps that. I know it's not polo. What do they do there? That's the jump. It seems
yeah.
like horse jumping.
Well, so, but
we've got
but good eye,
them.
Because yeah. that was originally a polo field.
Hmm.
I don't believe that they've ever consistently played polo there, but we have put on polo exhibitions there. Now it is used for Grand Prix show jumping.
Right.
So that's what you'll see there. But they
and I've taken my grandson. I know nothing about horses, and we've just gone down, and
yeah.
you can just sit and watch, and it's amazing what they do.
It is watching, you know, horse and rider. There's nothing like it. It's just majestic. And one of the fun things we do, kind of at halftime, is we'll bring the horses up to the crowd and let people pet them and talk to them and
oh, nice.
Try and explain whatever we can.
Yeah.
And introduce the kids to the horses. It's really fun.
We talked about. Training the people, training the Pauls, but are the horses trained for polo, or is it kind of a
absolutely.
Natural thing?
Absolutely, yes, are? Yes, they are. I mean, some of them come by it naturally and are naturally better polo horses, but it's an athleticism, it's a mind mindset, and a good polo pony will turn, you know, to the ball before you do, and we used to have. One polo pony who taught, I don't know, probably 300 people how to play polo, and he would kick the ball into the goal for them. So that's the best
pony.
Kind
that's
of pony.
My
pony.
That's my
yeah.
pony.
Now, you keep calling him pony, so I'm assuming that I actually know that the Mongols, when they rode a horde across Asia, rode smaller ponies.
Yes.
They were faster and they would run longer.
Yes.
And so ponies have a connotation of being a smaller horse as opposed to a racing horse or a...
Yeah, so we call them ponies, and but they're horses. And ponies, really, it refers to the height. So from a certain height, it's a miniature horse. And then the next level is a pony, and then the next level is a horse. I don't know why it's always been called polo ponies. I should look that up. But some of our horses are small and close to pony size, and others are giant thoroughbreds. Off the racetrack.
Yeah.
So some of the best polo ponies come from Argentina, and they're called an Argentine thoroughbred, but they're really a mixture of the local Criollo horse and a thoroughbred. They can stop and turn very quickly, and they can run fast. We use a lot of thoroughbreds off the racetrack. They are fast, and they can run, you know, for a long time, but they tend to be a little bit more high strung. Sometimes we find great quarter horses who have really good minds and are a lot more quiet, and they are perfectly suited for playing polo in the arena. Most of the horses that we have you know, they start, that's their first sport, but we have converted a lot of horses along the over the years from other sports to polo ponies.
So what's your expectations or your goals for the future of the polo club?
Well, I think that, you know, we've spent the last year just trying to get a handle on operating something like this. It's very complicated to have, to own the stables and the grounds and then to have the polo club and then really have sort of started this event business on top of it. So my goal is really to, now that we're getting a handle on all of that, is to be able to enjoy it and to build the club membership so that we, you know, the more people we can bring in to enjoy it, the more fun it is for the rest of us. And then I think it's, you know, with the events, it's really fun because you can introduce, you know, 100 people at once to something they've never seen it before.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's heard of it, but most people have never seen it. So that's really, we've been in Orange County for 30 years, and I don't know how many people know that there's been a polo club around and that it's just in their backyard.
Yeah.
You know?
I would say not many.
Yeah, not many. So I think now's the time for them to learn that. It's in a beautiful location. You feel like you're right, you know.
Yeah, tell us about that. What would it even look like when we walk
So it's, well, the, it's just straight up Silverado Canyon, which is at the end of Jamboree. And, you get off the road, and all of a sudden you're on this windy country road. You feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. There's a winery out there, right?
There is a winery out there. There's a lot of other, some other equestrian properties there. You just take a deep breath, and you can smell the oak trees, and it's, you can't believe that you just got off the 261, you know? And so you kind of wind your way up the canyon a little bit, and pull off the road, and there's the polo club, and it's 4 acres. We're right on a creek, and we're right next to Black Star Canyon, so it's completely open area next to us, and we're able to trail ride from our property out onto Black Star Canyon on trail rides with Irvine Park, OC Parks. And then the property itself is brand new, but it looks like something out of, you know, 1930s California.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just very, it's...
By design. You designed
it. By design. Yes. Yeah. It's very unique. It's very modern in feel, in that it's that classic, you know, clean line.
Yeah.
It's the barns are all old wood, and then the buildings are white stucco with beams, you know, exposed beams on the inside. And we've spent a lot of time really focusing on every detail, because how often do you get to build a polo club with, you know, all
everything you want.
You know, we've got horseshoes embedded in concrete. Got brass inlay sign with the logo and a bar. That's the best part.
Bar's good.
We got our own bar.
Did she say bar?
Paul got lit up.
Said bar there.
We've got our own bar.
So how often is it open? Give us the address and website and all that stuff.
Yeah. So OrangeCountyPoloClub.com or OCPolo.com. And the best way to contact us for hours is really to contact Heather via the website or...
You can give her a number if you have.
Yeah.
Do we have it?
Do we have the number?
Yeah.
The publicist here doesn't have the number.
Sorry. Okay, we'll get it.
All right, we'll get it.
So we're gonna circle back for the number because we're running out of time. But I really want to thank you for being on the show. This was so interesting, so different than what we would normally do. But I think the concept and was cool, and people should know more about this. But I do have the honor of asking my ultimate question, which is, what is your ultimate lesson learned in your career? I'm going to say in your career, you have such a multifaceted career.
I guess my ultimate lesson is that it's never over. Just keep going. It's there's always something you can do better, something you can perfect and evolve, and there's always a new opportunity. Yeah. And I think being able to jump on that opportunity and just go for it is really something I've learned over the years. I never thought I would have done all the things I did. I never set out to do them, but yeah. I never said no. And right. I think that and my folks are the same way. You know.
Yeah. So could we summarize it by saying keep writing?
Yes. Keep writing.
Keep writing.
All right. Do we have a number, Aaron?
Right there. Here's the number.
All right.
Hot
so
off
the number
the publicist's press here.
714-791-8369. So if anyone has questions or wants to reserve a time.
That number, once again, is?
714-791-8369.
And it's OC Polo or OC Polo Club?
OC Polo Club.
OCPoloClub.com. Yes. Right here in Orange County, there's a polo club. Who knew it?
Shelly, thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
My pleasure. And to all in the audience, we look forward to being back in studio next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc., under SEC registration.